I want to take you to Joel chapter 2, just briefly. And I kept hearing this afternoon, and so there's a few scriptures I think that are worthwhile as you go through this last day of the feast. I believe this is the next level of what God wants. And it doesn't take him long to form an army that is willing. So, chapter 2 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, which is the holiest part of the city. It is also the elevated part of the city. It is the city within a city. So you need to be aware that it's going to blow in that area for those that have been chosen, not just those that have been called. So many are called and? Okay. So this is speaking to the chosen ones. And it says, let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like the dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes. Now, many people think this army is of negative spirits. But I want to kind of make you jump over to verse 11. The Lord thunders at the head of his army, and his forces are beyond number. And mighty are those who obey his commands. The day of the Lord is great, it is dreadful. Who can endure it? Now, when I remember many years ago, there was a lot of discussion about this particular chapter. And many people did not understand that these are the army of the Lord. So if you look at this from this very large army, it is of the Lord. It is not demonic spirits. And it says, such as never was of old, verse 2, part B, nor ever will be in ages to come, because it won't be needed. Before them fire devours. Now, what fire? Fire from the Holy Ghost. Behind them a flame blazes. After they've gone by, everything is clean, because fire burns the garbage. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. Now, it looks everything very fleshy, if you wish, because the Garden of Eden was a place where flesh was exposed. And when you get done with flesh, and it's all burned up, what have you got? You've got the spirit man. Amen? They have appearances of horses. They gallop like cavalry. So now, the appearance of horses also makes you aware of their strength. If you have a car, you have horsepower. If you have a truck, you have horsepower. If you have a diesel engine, it's still called. And you know, men are not in the natural very strong, but horses are very strong and powerful. So that's what the implication is. With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountaintops like a crackling fire consuming stubble. Stubble is hay. Does not burn the wheat. Amen? Mm-hmm. Like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Now, how are you and I going to affect nations? It's only because of the stubble that has been removed. And we are now pure and actually able to function as one unit. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors and they scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead, meaning their purpose is towards the Lord and only towards him. They plunge through defenses without breaking rank. They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into the houses like thieves. They enter through the window, through the windows. Before them, the earth shakes. Of course, you've heard about the earthquakes. It's nothing to do with natural. It's spiritual. When your earth is shaking, your flesh is being readjusted, if you wish. Because there's a fear of God inside of you. You don't want to miss God. And the sky trembles, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. If you have stars in the heavens, we have stars in Hollywood. That's kind of the concept that's really going on. Those that are very big and powerful are going to be what? No longer shining. Because God's people, the army of God, is going to be shining. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty are those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Rend your hearts is before verse 12. Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting and weeping and mourn. Why? So that you can be formed in one unit that functions with one purpose. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, and gather the people and consecrate the assembly. Bring them together, the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. In other words, don't leave anybody out. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple, porch, and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? And the Lord answers, then the Lord will be jealous for his land. Why? Because now they're one unit. As this army that God is performing to manifest in the Spirit, there's going to be one drive in them, and that is to obey. They're not going to be trying to get one ahead of the other, not going to be a competition of names and titles, even though that's part of what we live with. I believe that there's going to be a harmony in God that's going to come in the churches that God is going to form. And it's going to be God's doing. It's not going to be somebody that's going to just be at the whip and making you do because you think it's a great idea. It's going to be God coordinating his people as one massive group with one intention: salvation for those that don't know him. 19. The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil, enough to satisfy you. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. Everybody laughs at the church. I mean, it doesn't matter what nation, what nationality. You listen to CNN, NBC, Fox News is probably the only one that has a little bit of respect. But the others, I mean, I heard things over this weekend, not very pretty. In fact, I at one point shut it off because it was derogatory. Now, verse 20, I will drive the northern army far from you. Now, who has been claiming the north?
Russia.
Think again. Who was the first one that wanted to sit in the high places of the north?
Lucifer.
So again, it has an implication. Yes, there is natural, but there's also spiritual. And so if you look at this book and this message from a spiritual concept, you'll get a different comprehension rather than kind of making it natural all the time, because we have a tendency to be up here, and God is trying to say, go a little higher. Okay? I will drive the northern army far from you, pushing it into the parched and garden, barren land, with its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those in the rear into the western sea. And its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. So you see, even though it's left clean, and it's been swept, the Lord is saying, be glad, because I'm renewing it. All right? If you want to burn, I remember sometimes the Indians were quite famous for this. They would burn their fields in the spring. It was actually to burn all the dead seeds, and then they would plant. Now, I know it's not the best way, but that's what they did. And that is a way of getting rid of all the bad seeds from all the ugly stuff, and then they would have a piece of land that they could function with. And it was controlled burning, if you wish. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. So in other words, he's saying once the army's gone through, then everything that was is going to be what? Restored and made whole. Even the trees. The fig tree, the vine, will yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains and righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floor will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Again, spiritual. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarms, etc. And I want to kind of skip a little more down to verse 28 because of time. The day of the Lord. Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. It doesn't say might. Will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Why? Maturity. It's not age. Young men will see visions. Again, not age. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned dark to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't say might. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. What are they surviving from? Their flesh. They're survivors because they have actually become really focused on the spirit within themselves, and they're letting their spirit rule and not their flesh. So they're victorious on every level, spirit, soul, and body. Because once your transfer has happened, you're no longer relying on what you've learned. You're relying on the revelation of every single day, every single moment. Lord, what do you want from me next? Now, you were commissioned to go to the Catholic Church and go to Mass, and you blessed how many people because you obeyed? Okay? Now, if you went on your little trip there, you were blessed because you obeyed. Because God's got a commission for you. Mm-hmm. All right? You were blessed in a sense that you know now not to listen to somebody else's advice. Right? Mm. Maybe you should have went to the Lord and said, do I really want to hook up with this person? Because it became a frustration rather than a blessing. And he really probably didn't gain anything because he wasn't ready to receive. He was the one that wanted to give to you. And I've done that. Believe me, I've done it. All with good intentions now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
People have awesome intentions and they will, oh, you go do that. Well, if you got the nudge, you go. You get hooked up with that person. I don't have that nudge. And today I can speak it. But at that time I could not. You know. And we feel sorry because that's emotion. We feel sorry because nobody's paying attention to this particular individual. And we end up doing, but is it Holy Ghost doing? So, again, the reflection of the feast is to listen to the Holy Spirit to the very best of your ability. And I'll tell you truthfully, rather than ruin your entire day, all right, under the wrong anointing, because you saw the fruit and you had to watch, because you knew inside something was off center. So in the future, when you know something is off center, pull back, say to the person who's, you know, because everybody has a good intention. Let's pray about this. Let's make sure that I don't listen to just a good idea. because listening to a good idea put me in the hospital. And it was very serious. And I have a scar to prove it. And I couldn't walk on my leg for September, October, many months. Because I listened to somebody else's. Okay. And it's not a judgment call against that person. They had a great brain thought, and they did tell me to do what I did, and it wasn't God at all. But I trusted the person. I trusted their discernment. I didn't go to God. It was my fault. And the Lord told me, I gave you grace because, you know, you should have listened to me. But you had trust in that individual. It's better trusting the Lord than to trust an individual, because they just might miss the mark. And if they miss the mark and you... It's a lack of knowledge, if you wish, or lack of confirmation. If you don't have that confirmation in the future, you know, inside your heart, pull back and say, okay, I'm not comfortable right now. I can't do this. If you have a nudge, go ahead. But, you know, don't take on the responsibility for someone else, because you could end up hurting yourself and hurting the plan of the Lord for that day. Yeah. Not that he can't turn it into good. Romans 8 says he'll turn all things to good. We talked about Jonah. Okay, if he would have listened, it probably would have been a whole different chapter. But God knew, you know. And I'm not blaming anybody now. Don't get me wrong. That's not the point. I've learned through my mistakes. And but if we can alleviate having, let's say, greater mistakes in the future, that's what you want to do. You want to mature. You want to grow, and you want to be obedient. But take a book like Joel and look at it from the Holy Spirit's response. Make sure you get God's word that implies what it says, so that you'll get a better understanding of what he's really saying. This day of the Lord is going to be awesome. But it is also going to be very difficult for those who don't know the Lord. And you're going to have... I heard a message this week that I was able to listen to on my trip there, that the CDs that you passed, the day that you can either get a kiss or a thunderbolt, it's very well put. And so God is going to get through to you. He's going to get through, just like this army here is going to be able to push forward. And a kiss can sometimes change you more than a thunderbolt. And it's a great way of learning. There are times that you're going to be pressed of God to bless the one that can't stand you. And do I get any amens?
Amen.
How many times did you have to go out your way and give a second time because the first time they didn't catch on? Okay. Any additions? I want to make sure that you understand that Joel 2 is really all about God's army. If I get nothing else through you, it is God's army that's being prepared. And that army is going to be so awesome. And if you want to see a preview of it, the whole book of Acts was the first run. It was the first run. The second one is going to be awesome. The second run is going to be awesome. The first run changed the whole world at that time. The second run is going to change the whole world at this time. And I said, Lord, what do you want for this closing? And he had shown me a scripture this morning about, you know, the I've got a godchild in California, and I'm sure they got shook up. And I teased my wife tonight. I said, well, maybe they'll get back to church. That might be what's needed to shake them. You know, we don't know what it's going to take. We don't know. These signs that are happening all around us, they're very real. But, you know, somebody that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't have any concept of what God is maybe wanting for them or from them, could be a challenging time, but also a very bright time, because that fire that he's going to burn, that stubble that he's going to eliminate, is going to be all the fleshy parts of you and me. And that's the season of Passover. Get rid of the old. You remember their ritual was to clean the house, get rid of all the sin.
Yeah.
What did we do? We sprinkled the blood everywhere. That's what's been going on this whole week, sprinkling the blood. And he's not done. He's got all day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So can you lift your hands to him, please? Say, Father, tonight, keep the fire burning. Inside of me. Burn all the stubble. All of the hay part of me. The stuff that needs to go. Keep burning it, Lord. Don't stop. I purpose to give you permission. To burn all the old. So that I can function in harmony. With all the members of the body of Christ. That have been chosen for this army. I want to serve in unity. And in harmony. And the gift of grace. Is for me to obey. What you speak. In my heart. And to the best of my ability. Bless. And honor you. In everything I do. In Jesus' name. We pray. Yes, dear.
You were talking about burning.
Yes.
And when burning goes on, sometimes there's smoke. So I think we have to be careful not to walk back into the smoke. I'll tell you just this little quick story. When I was a kid, my dad was of the belief that you burn like
the grass. Yeah.
And we also had an empty lot next to us, and it was always pretty overgrown and had all stuff in there. So he'd go in there in the spring, and he'd burn it down. And I mean, it was very controlled and all of that, but there apparently was poison ivy.
Oh, no, you went in it.
Oh, no. And I apparently got in the smoke, so I was covered with poison ivy. And it was so bad. I was very upset.
That was Daddy's fault, huh?
Well, it's good I didn't get into your lungs.
I know.
Yeah, I could have.
Sure.
Yeah. Because my grandson had it one time and it was inside. The doctor said he almost died. Mm-hmm. It was because he had had it so many times. And I don't know how many times that you have to have or whatever. The doctor said it was not just on the outside. It was some of it was on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That kid suffered so bad that year.
I never got it again, though.
Well, praise God. You got upset. Yes, you didn't want that thing anymore, huh?
I stayed out of that smoke. Into the smoke and burning it out.
Yeah.
Any other additions?